Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. It's now through June 5th. We're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion. It's presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook, and you can go to warriors.com for full details. I'm Tim Roy from Warriors Sound, and we're going to go back to November 1st of 2014, second game of the year for the Warriors, and they're hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. To help us break it down, Mark Spears from ESPN and the undefeated longtime NBA scribe joins us. And Mark, first of all, I hope that you and your family, for the most part, are getting through all this unscathed and trying to do the best you can in what is a real odd and surreal, very tough circumstance.
Yeah, no, you know, we've had some family things. You know, my mom actually survived COVID, and she's doing a lot better. Luckily, it was just a mild case, and she's fine. But on a, you know, different note, my uncle's kind of like a patriot to the family. He passed away for health reasons and nothing to do with COVID. His name is Joe Armand. We called him Squeak. That was my guy, the guy that read all my stories and passed them on to everybody, and was a huge basketball fan. Was Avery, former Warrior, Avery Johnson's first coach, and a huge hoop head. And so he passed away on Tuesday, and, you know, God rest my uncle's soul, because he might have listened to this interview if had he still been around, man. But he's in a better place now, so it's definitely been a challenging month and sad couple months here.
Well, sorry for that, and we appreciate your time, and we know he's listening somewhere. So let's move on to the game, and it's early November. It's the second game of the year, but let's go back a little bit in context here. It's coming off the season where the Warriors are eliminated the first round, the Donald Sterling series. Mark Jackson is let go right after that. The Warriors go back and try to keep wooing Steve Kerr and keep him away from the New York Knicks. They're successful in that. And now the Warriors start out the season as a team that, you know, has talent. People think they're pretty good. But where did you see the Warriors coming into that season? And what questions did you want to see answered?
Yeah, you know, obviously when you bring in a new coach, you never know what initially is going to look like. And, I mean, it looked amazing. I think the big reason was everybody understood their role. I mean, the Splash Brothers were outstanding, and that was kind of their ascension. They had a chip on their shoulder based on how they lost that Clipper series, which perhaps, you know, got them to work out even harder in the offseason. Steve did a great job of introducing himself to everybody and visiting everybody and getting on the same page with everyone, getting respect. And you know, so it was a little surprising that they started off, you know, the way that they started off, because I mean, what, they had a stretch where they won like 16 games in a row or something like that, like, which, being somebody who grew up in the Bay Area and watched the Warriors play in the, you know, early 80s on KICU TV 36, they won two games in a row. You're like, wow. You know? So to see like the team, like, look like they had a, you know, a championship potential, this franchise, after so much struggle, it just was kind of odd. And then the Lakers come in, and it's like flipped from what we usually see. Like, they have this like awful team led by Kobe Bryant. And, man, Tim, you know, for years, you go to a Lakers-Warriors game, especially just before that time, and every seat, or about half the arena, was Lakers fans, making their noise, yelling, screaming, pumping their chest, all that. And then this is when the tide was changing, where the Warriors were becoming a power, and the Lakers and the were at the end of the Kobe era, where they had a lot of injuries, one superstar, and a bunch of, you might as well call them Kobe and the Miracles at the time. They were bad.
Yeah, they were coming in having played three prior games. They were 0-3 coming in. And this game, you know, kind of was one that they really had to have to kind of stop the bleeding, if you will. But it was funny. The Warriors were down by six at the end of one. They led by six at the break thanks to a 32-point second quarter. But the third quarter, which was almost dead even, but it really was kind of a I don't want to say passing of the torch. That's kind of cliche. But it was sort of maybe two guys passing each other. Kobe Bryant at 19 in the third. It was 9 of 14. Klay Thompson comes back.
Crazy shot.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And Klay Thompson was 6 of 8 from the field. He had 15 points. And afterwards, Mark, Steve Kerr was quoted as saying, yeah, it was kind of cool watching, you know, the guy who's been the best in the position, you know, 15 years going toe-to-toe with a rising star. And, you know, Klay was in his ascendancy. And I just thought that's a quarter that I'll remember for a while because it was, you know, kind of the old guard against the new guy. And it was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, the beautiful thing in watching some of the replays of that game was seeing these, like, it was an acrobatic shot that Kobe hit right before the end of the second quarter that I'm like, why aren't they showing it now?
Yeah.
Amongst his, like, it is the late great's highlight reel. Just this beautiful, whirling, Dervish, Jordan, Dr. J kind of shot, David Thompson kind of shot, and I hadn't seen that in a while. But then, you know, and the Warriors had this, like, horrible second quarter and, you know, where they were down by 10 to this, like, bad Lakers team. And Laker was sulking on the sideline. And suddenly they fight back. And even after Kobe's, like, great shot, the Warriors finished the quarter and going to the half with a dunk in the momentum. And I think a lot of people forget about this game. You know, Klay had a little boost, man. Klay had a little boost because he had just signed a 4-year, $70 million deal.
Correct, yeah, the day before.
So, yeah. And so it was kind of like, you know, like you've gotten to see Klay behind the scenes. And I think he might be quiet and everything, but like that financial pat on the back probably gave him a boost of confidence and made him feel good. If there's anyone that wants to be a Warrior, it's him. So I think he probably had a boost of energy in terms of, okay, I got to prove that I'm deserving of it. And also with his recent injury, just like watching that game and seeing the way he just ran the floor and dunked and shot, I think with the KD coming, as amazing as he was, like, in a lot of ways, the beauty of the Splash Brothers kind of got pushed to the side. Came a 3-4-man show, you know, all-star show. But before Kevin arrived, as we saw in this game, man, you know, with Klay having 41, and I believe Steph had 33, just the beauty of those two that garnered that amazing nickname was just good to see, because this was the beginning of something special with the Splash Brothers and the Warriors.
No doubt. And, you know, looking at Klay Thompson's shot chart that night, he got to the rim a lot. And that's always been a big key to his game. And I'm always a little anxious for a player who signs a big deal because sometimes, Mark, we've seen this with other guys in the past, they try to earn all the money in the first game or so, you know, and sometimes they go into a slump. But you know, Klay being Klay, he's so
barely missed.
Yeah. He's so even keel.
Missed 2 of 7 3-pointers. I mean, very efficient.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's Klay though.
In 34 minutes. I mean, for a shooter,
it's crazy.
You'll take that.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll definitely take that. So I mean, he, to your point, I mean, and he made 8 of 9 free throws. I mean, think about it. He missed 4 shots out of 18. 2 3-pointers out of 7 and 1 free throw. I mean, plus minus was plus 24.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's worth the money. Jimmy's worth the money.
Yeah. I think, you know, and then the guy next to him goes 30 and 10. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny. That year, David Lee had gotten hurt in training camp. And, you know, I remember it was against the Lakers. Might have been in Ontario. Not sure. I have to go back and look it up. But it was a preseason game. But the first, like, 6 minutes of that game with the starting five, the ball was going everywhere, and it was like, wow. And I remember looking around going, I know it's preseason, but that looked really good. And
yeah.
And this game, what we're talking about on November 1st, kind of the same thing. You know, we didn't know it at the time, but you know, they had 30 assists that night, and that's a number that they still continue to shoot for today. That means that you're getting everybody involved and everybody's touching the ball when you get that many assists.
Yeah, and then you mentioned the David Lee thing, and it's kind of like the Wally Pipp, right? Like, David Lee gets hurt, Draymond starts, and then it's like, hey, dude, this is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
this is working really good, and, you know, he goes, David Lee starts 67 games and is a full-time starter for the last time in his career during the 2014 season. 2014-15, he started four because, you know, what you saw with Draymond in the starting lineup and, you know, how the ball moved around and one guy that wasn't really worrying about scoring, it was a great accident. Something that ended up, you know, if David Lee ends up, doesn't get hurt and, you know, you have him in the starting lineup, does that change things? Would it have brought him more struggle? Would they have scored as efficiently, you know, to the Warriors' delight, you know, we'll never know that. And it also, you know, vaulted Draymond's career, made him, started the beginning of him being a superstar. Like, I remember him being in Summer League, second, coming off the bench in Summer League.
Right.
Being a second round pick. And then I also remember, you know, getting some time with him after he celebrated his first big contract, where he basically went from what, $850,000 to $15 million or something like that a year. Like, what a pay increase. But that, so it's those little things, man. Like, sometimes it's, a lot of times it's talent, sometimes it's luck, man. And luck would have it that an injury actually helped their team.
Well, the Warriors close it out. They have a 10-1 run right in the middle of the fourth quarter to close out the game, and they go on for the victory, 127-104. And the Splash Brothers combined for 72 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds. And, you know, Warriors were good. We knew they were a good team and that they were on the rise. But the fact that they were able to keep Klay Thompson, Curry, and Draymond Green, Mark, how important do you think was that to set up the run of five consecutive finals, even with the addition of Kevin Durant?
I mean, it that to me is a testament to having homegrown talent. You got Steph in 2009. Klay, Draymond came shortly after that. Draymond's money wasn't so high, so, you know, it allowed them to get Iguodala and guys like Bogut and be able to pay for it, you know. I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Warriors were actually trying to get Dwight Howard, and it didn't work out, and they ended up getting Iguodala.
Yeah, I think one of the most underrated trades of all time to get all that to work. You know, Bob Myers was worth every penny. That was a very complicated trade. That was incredible.
Yeah. We got to give Larry Riley some credit too. You know, because he was the one that picked Steph.
Yep.
You know, and played a big role in other guys getting selected. So Larry Riley always deserves some love in this. But it and then also remember too, like, because of Steph's ankle injury, he didn't get the big, you know, pay at first, meaning like the max pay at first. And I remember when he signed that first, like, big extension, it was kind of like on potential. Like, people forget, like, how really, truly bad his ankles were at that time. And I remember him putting on his shoes, and it looked like he had shin guards, but put sideways. He had these crazy ankle braces that he was wearing, and he was kind of described as fine china. Like, you know, if you hit him, he's going to sprain his ankles. And somehow, you know, he was able to get over that and overcome that to the point now where we don't even talk about that anymore. So I think a lot, in a lot of ways, things fell into place because, you know, Draymond's number was low, Curry's number was lower than it should have been, and then, you know, Clay ends up doing his rookie deal and getting paid. So to me, because of this being a homegrown talent team, it allowed them to have some flexibility to fill the other pieces in a pretty strong fashion.
Mark Spears of ESPN and the Undefeated. Final question for you, and it's off topic. Watching The Last Dance, was there something in there that you learned that maybe you didn't know going in?
Is it the pizza story?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
That true? But then I've heard that was a lie.
So, yeah.
So I've heard, like, Jack McMullen say on TV, or even Sam Smith say on TV, that story was a bunch of bull. No pun intended.
Supposedly, there was a Kobe cheeseburger story in Sacramento. I had heard that in the past. So, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, like, doesn't that sound odd? Like, five dudes brought a pizza.
Yeah.
And you don't think anything of it. And, like, the hotel that the Bulls were staying in didn't have a chef to cook for them late at night. I mean, I know it was a Marriott, but,
yeah,
you know, with all due respect to the Marriott, I would think somebody would have been there to get them a meal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that was the one part of the story I thought, you know, they do have room service, you know?
I mean, like, how long have you been with the Warriors?
Just finished or about to finish my 25th year.
Okay, which makes your first year what?
95-96.
Okay, so based on your knowledge, 95-96, when you guys traveled, when you first got there, were you able to get late night room service?
In almost every place. There might have been like a Red Lion in Portland or someplace that we couldn't get it, but...
And you probably stayed at that Marriott. That was across the street from the old Delta Center.
Everybody stayed at the Marriott. It was connected to the mall, and yeah, everybody stayed there. You could literally walk, get out the front door, across the street, and you're in the building. So, yep.
So you're telling me during the NBA Finals, they took your room service?
Exactly. Exactly.
I find that hard to believe. Man. Yeah. There's a lot of holes in that story. I mean, somebody could have made a run to 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
I know there's that 7-Eleven in Salt Lake right outside of downtown that's open real 24 hours, right?
Exactly. Get them a Dr. Pepper and a bag of chips.
Yeah. Like, get them something. Get them, you know, they had a microwave in there. They could have got them DiGiorno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could have microwaved something there, you know? But,
but it was amazing. I was sad not to be a part of it again last week, and to me is great. But that story, man, I don't know, man. I ain't buying this whole pizza story in Salt Lake, man.
Well, we'll have to go back and just stick with the tried and true, the flu. We'll stay with that one.
Yeah, that sounded better.
Mark, always a pleasure. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you somewhere down the NBA trail somewhere in the future, my friend.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
So again, a reminder, the Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. It's now through June 5th. We're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for further details. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.